Well, good to have you here this morning. I have a question for you to think about. What is the big deal with going to church? What is the big deal? Keeps me employed. That's why I like that you go to church. So I know why I'm here. What about the rest of you? No, but seriously, truly, Jesus set up his church to make a vital impact on the world. That's what he did 2,000 years ago. And I use the word vital impact because we're not here to be a country club, just a friendly place. Not just, hopefully we are a friendly place, but not just that. We're here to be a life-saving station. We believe here at Stony that the church is meant to be a place for all people, regardless of background, gender, color, who they're voting for, any of these things, that this is a place where people can come for grace, for healing, for encouragement to grow, to live better, to treat each other better, and of course to have life that goes on into eternity with Jesus. That's what this place is. That's why it exists. We believe that Jesus makes this life-impacting difference so much that we have made our mission here at Stony Creek Church, and it's written on the back of your program, it's up here on a slide, our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus. That more people would see that Jesus is the answer and that they would grow in that relationship here at church to live better for him, to treat each other better, and to go on into eternity. Today we're continuing our series, the SCC Diamond, which is all about discovering what that looks like to make more and better followers. How do we know that we're growing in that relationship, that we're doing what we should be doing together as a church? And so we've put together this baseball analogy. It's a baseball diamond, and it's just meant to illustrate how a person grows, different milestones in a person's spiritual walk. You've got first base is come, then you've got connect, commit, and coach. And so this series, we're looking at each of these bases. Now, the analogy might be inspired by that new stadium that's going up downtown in Utica. Is anybody excited about that? I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I know you're excited about that because you're on the city board, you know, that plans things. So Nick is excited. I'm excited about it too. That's pretty neat. I don't know how they're going to fit parking down there if you've driven by it. Can you see Stony, by the way, in the plans? We're right over there in that back corner. So. But anyway, those are the plans. If you haven't driven by it, down on M59 at the service drive there, you can drive past it and see it. It's really impressive how fast that's going up. So maybe we are inspired by that. We've got baseball in the mind, but this is a new analogy to Stony. But the principles of this baseball diamond, they're right out of Scripture. All right, the ways that we grow in our faith and our relationship with God, they're right out of the Bible. And last week, when we kicked off this series, we looked at first base, which was come to Christ. And we defined that saying it's when a person places his or her trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's first base, the most urgent message, we called it. That's the gospel message, that we need to put our trust in Jesus. To learn more about that, you can check out our podcast. We've got that available at our website, also on iTunes. You can search Stony Creek Sermon Podcast and check that out if you missed last week and you want to get caught up. It's free, and it's a great way to do that. On iTunes, you can listen to it in double speed. I sound really funny, but you know, you get done with it in half the time, so that's all right. Don't start skipping church just to do that. I can get done with the sermon in half the time if I just don't show up. I got to quit giving you guys suggestions. Okay. So, today is part two, and we're looking at second base, which is the base called connect. All right. And we're calling it what we need most to grow. All right. Connect. So second base looks like this. There we go. Connect with Christian living. And in fact, that is the answer to the title of today's message. What do we need most to grow in our relationship with God here together at church? We need to connect with Christian living. In fact, that's the main idea on your outline. The first thing you can write down, you get that outline out of your program, check a pen, make sure it's working, and write this down. Connect with Christian living. That's what we're going to be talking about today. It's the title of second base. It's the main idea of everything we're going to talk about. Because when a person gets to first base, when a person trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's not where their journey ends. Sometimes we think that way, like, oh, if I can just get this person to become a Christian, then they've arrived. That's not where our journey ends. That's where it takes off. All right, that's the beginning. That's step one. That's first base. But now, the Bible teaches when somebody's done that, a new life has begun. A new life is in front of them now. An old life has passed away. Now they're living for Jesus, and it's a new life. And so second base, if I had to sum it up, it's what we need to grow. It's the ingredients that keep us growing in that relationship. That's what that connection with Christian living does for us. It nourishes this new life. And so we're going to look in Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We read a little bit from this last week, just real briefly, because this was the first public church service, kind of like the first revival event. And the Apostle Peter was there, and this is a painting, probably from a child's book or something. It was the best I could find. And he was speaking to the people in Jerusalem. He may have looked like that or completely different. And he shared the gospel message, what we talked about last week. And last week we saw that what the way people responded was they made a decision to become Christians, to become Christ followers. Now, today we're going to pick it up in verse 42. This is the very next verse after we start, actually verse 41, the end of verse 41. And this is what happened next, all right? And we're going to get a peek into what Christian living looks like, because this is how the church started doing life together. All right, so let's take a look, and eventually there'll be yellow print on the screen, and you can help me with that. But let's read our whole passage, and then we'll kind of go through it together as we work down our outline. So it goes like this. This is just after Peter gave the first gospel presentation, people trust in Christ, and it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's explosive growth in one day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Help me out. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. This is what the Christian church looked like at its birth. In its infancy, we have a community here of first basers, right? They just responded to the gospel. And how do we sum up their major character? I think it's what we read in yellow there. How do we sum up all of this? They were doing life together with God and with his people. That's what it looked like. On your outline, I've got a little place to write in a definition of our word connect. Connect can mean a lot of things. It can mean figuring out which of these lines for the lights isn't connected properly and snugging it up so they're not doing their own thing. It can mean a lot of things, but here's what we mean when we talk about connecting with Christian living. So you want to write this down on your outline. It's building your relationship with God and his people. So it's an ongoing thing. It's pretty easy at first base to say, I know when this has happened because it's like it's a decision you made at some point. I'm going to follow Christ. You know, you can point it. If you remember the day you did it, you might even have an anniversary. I remember the day that I did it. I just happened to write it down on my calendar. And so I remembered that it was November 20th of 1996 that I made that decision. You may remember, you may not remember, but there was a point. This one is like an ongoing base. You know, it's either happening or it isn't happening. And so it's a little harder to pin down. And so I think it's important that we kind of spell this out. And so what does it look like to be at second base, to be connecting with God, with his people in Christian living? What does that look like? Well, we've got three C's listed on our outline. And that's how we're going to break this passage down today. I call them the three C's for growing in Christian living. And the first one, this is what second basers do. The first one is celebration. You want to write that word down, celebration. Now, I know that a lot of people throughout history and around the world might not use the word celebration to describe church and Christian living. And that's because the church has, over time and in certain circles, had a nasty habit of making itself very boring. And we're like this guy, falling asleep. Some of you fall asleep because you work nights, and that's okay. I forgive you. I see you sleeping right now. It's okay. Don't bother that person. He worked hard last night. But the God of the Bible is a lot of things, but not one of them is boring. Not one of them is boring. And so when we come together to celebrate who he is and what he's done for us at church, it is a sin to make it boring. All right? I believe it. It's a sin. When people walk away and they're like, man, that guy was so boring. That person blew it that day then. All right? And that's why the leaders here at Stony, we value, and all the workers here, so we value making church engaging. It's not that it's always fun. Life is heavy, so we got to deal with heavy topics. You know? There's ups and downs in living. But one thing it shouldn't be is boring. Church should be engaging. It's a celebration. Of course, it also depends on our attitude, right? I think of, we had a couple of snow days last week, and I was home with my kids trying to work on this message, and I got inspired for this next analogy. Because we've got, like, all the toys in the world, and yet they got bored at some point. They're like, we got nothing to do. This wasn't this week, that's last Christmas, but they've got, like, all the toys, all right? They've got all the toys, all the books. Now they've got a video game, which really upsets me because my oldest is only six. I know it's bad parenting to give him a video game already. You can blame his grandma. Blame it all on their grandparents. I don't think I've spent $20 on my kids since they've been born on toys. But they sit around bored, and why? Because it's attitude and perspective too, right? I mean, you can sit at the most exciting thing. Leah and I went on vacation one time. We were at the Colosseum, all right? We're in Rome at the Colosseum, and it's this beautiful, like, we see the stadium here. It's like that, but it's this ancient Roman, it's the Colosseum, right? And she's like, it's not as big as I thought it was going to be. She was just so unimpressed with the Colosseum. I'm like, it's the Colosseum. So there's perspective and attitude. I didn't plan to call you out, Leah, and I see that. I'll pay for that later, and that's fine. God really does want us to, when we come together to celebrate, to engage in his presence with him and with his people. In the Old Testament, he did this in a lot of ways. He had Moses and other leaders teach songs to Israel to sing. Why do we sing at church? Because we want to have a rock concert? No. We sing as an act of celebration of who God is and what he's done to worship him. Amen. Right? That's why we sing. And that's what they did, you know, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, when Moses and David and these other leaders taught Israel songs. And it was a way to help remember truths about God. It was a way to celebrate them together corporately in Israel. He also gave Israel the tabernacle. This was in the wilderness. After they escaped out of Egypt, they built this tent. It was called the Tent of Meeting or the Tabernacle. And that was for public worship. This is a cool picture. This isn't an actual picture of it. You probably already guessed that. But it's a representation, and you see there's camps all around. They're wandering in the wilderness. All of Israel was living in tents and moving from place to place throughout their time there. But in the center of it was their place they came together to worship God. And everything about that tabernacle, when you read the pages in the Old Testament, sometimes we skip that. We're like, oh, more tabernacle stuff. But hanker down in there once in a while, okay, guys? And read it. All of the articles that are in there, all the tools that they had, like incense and candles and stuff for baking bread and all this stuff, they all meant something. They're all symbols that were meant to engage us. People would smell the bread cooking out of the tabernacle, and that stood for God's sweet presence in our lives. There was so much symbology in there, and it was meant so that Israel would come together and they would be engaged through all their senses in worshiping God. There was also all kinds of feasts and celebrations prescribed in the Bible. And each one of these things was designed, again, to teach about who God is and what he's done for Israel. And the way that God assigned Israel to do these things, they said, when your kids are there, they're going to ask, why do we do this? One of the things they ate was like bitter herbs. They ate these bitter herbs at the Passover meal prescribed in the Old Testament. And the kids would eat it and be like, oh, this is gross. Why are we eating this? It's so bitter. And they said, well, that represents the slavery we were under in Egypt that God freed us from. We remember we were slaves and we've been freed. And so everything had a symbol. And it was celebration in a way to teach that was engaging. And they could pass on the truths about God to the next generation. So even in the Old Testament, this was going on. Well, in the New Testament, I think it gets even more exciting for us, this celebration, because Jesus gave the church ways to celebrate him, ways to celebrate God that would keep us engaged. There, I list a few of them on your outline. The first one that he gave us is baptism. You want to write that down. Such an important celebration for our growth in Christ is baptism. Jesus said it in Matthew 28. He gave us the Great Commission. He said, go, make disciples of all nations, help me out, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus commanding the church to go out. And ever since then, 2,000 years, when a person makes a decision to follow Jesus, we get them dunked back here. We've got our baptistry, and we have a baptism right back there. Now, baptism, it actually predated the church a little bit, but Jesus gave it a new meaning. The pages of the New Testament, they unfold it for us, what that meaning is. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. And just as Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin, when a person's getting baptized, they're saying, when I decided to follow Christ, I died to my old way of living for myself. That's dead to me. I'm a new person now. And so just as Jesus died for me, I died to my sin. Jesus was buried. We are burying the past. We're saying that part of me is over. And that's what baptism is. It's a burial. And when we take the person back up, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we're saying, I've been raised to new life in Christ because of my relationship with him. And so that water, it doesn't save us. It's not magical. It's a symbol. It's a symbol. It's a celebration of what's already happened in that person's life. And that's why Jesus gives us that. That's why in our passage today in Acts 2, it said, those that accepted his message were baptized. Right away, right out of the gate, the church starts following Jesus on this command. Well, conveniently, we have a baptism coming up here at Stony Creek Church. And so if you are a Christian, but you've never been baptized since you made that decision to follow Jesus, I encourage you. You saw the announcement there. It's written in your program, the details of the date and how to sign up. Sign up for that today. You can use, I know the offering has already passed. Usually we use our response card. We've got our digital response card online. You can go on your phone right now and sign up for baptism. Write in your name and click, I'm interested in baptism, and we'll get you signed up. We've got a one-time class that kind of explains it. And then we'll get you baptized because it's important to have that celebration. We cheer one another on in beginning that relationship with Christ. Another celebration that Jesus gave us, you want to write it down, is communion. Communion. It's listed, kind of veiled. It's kind of veiled in our passage today, but it's listed here twice. Look at this. It says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. I'm skipping over some different things to show this. I'm not like cutting out scripture or anything. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they, later on, it says they broke bread in their homes together and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. the breaking of bread in the New Testament, it's a reference to two things, really: fellowship with each other and also communion. Because Jesus gave us communion to remember his sacrifice for us. The bread, we have communion once a month here at Stoney, at each service, our 9:30 and our 11. And we say each time that bread represents Jesus' broken body. And in our case, we use juice, not wine, you know, just so if somebody has an addiction issue, that they're not tempted. So we use juice, and that juice represents his poured out blood for us. And we see it listed twice here, this fellowship and communion in this community, because it was at the center of their way of life, of their Christian living. Why? Because it's the gospel message. That's the gospel message. And Jesus gave us this because he wanted us to engage all five senses in remembering the gospel regularly. He wants that at the heart of our Christian living together here. When we have communion, we read the words, we put them up on the screen or look in our Bibles. And so we're reading, we're seeing them, we're saying them, so we're hearing them. When we hold the elements in our hands, we're touching the bread and the juice, we're smelling it, we're tasting it. All five senses are engaged in the celebration of communion. That's why Jesus set it up. And we're to do it regularly together. You know, I know, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but when Communion Sunday's coming up, I know some people think that's the day we can get the grass cut on Sunday. It's not a regular message, it's just communion. All right, I want to encourage you to not think about it that way. The reason we have it every month here at Stoney is because it ought to be at the heart of our worship together. The gospel message is there, and it's a celebration that Jesus himself gave us and passed on to us and told us to do it when we meet together. And so I encourage you to be here for, make communion a priority when we celebrate it. The third and the last celebration we'll look at today is our regular Sunday services. You want to write that down. In our passage, it read like this. It said that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That was for corporate worship and teaching. The apostles were doing their big teachings there. And in this case, they were meeting every day. They're just getting organized. They just started. As we go through the book of Acts, we see by the end of Acts, it's become the regular practice of the church to meet on Sunday. They meet every Sunday. They call it the Lord's Day. And it's a change because most of the Christians were Jews. They were all Jews at the beginning, right? And they're starting to branch out now by the end of Acts. But they switched from Saturday, which was the Jewish day of rest, the Sabbath, to Sunday, because that's the day Jesus arose from the dead. They called it the Lord's Day. And they wanted to celebrate that day as the best day of the week. It was the first day of the week. We kind of look at it as the last day of the week today, but really it's the first day of the week, historically. And Jesus arose from the dead, so they celebrated on the Lord's Day. I remember, I grew up Catholic, and something that confused me was Lent. It confused me mathematically. And you're like, well, that's a weird way to be confused about Lent. But there's 40 days of Lent from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. But at like 11 years old, I looked at the calendar because I wondered how many days I had until I rode my bike again, if I gave it up for Lent, you know? How many days until I could ride my bike? And I'm like, oh, I'm at 20 days, only 20 days left. But then I counted, there are 25 days left. There's 45 days in between Ash Wednesday and Easter. I'm like, the 40 days of Lent, what are those extra 5 days doing in there? They're Sundays. There's five Sundays, and in the Catholic tradition, you don't fast on the Lord's Day. Not even Lent breaks our celebration together on Sunday. That's what the church was teaching. Now, that's a Catholic church tradition, Lent is. It's not right out of the Bible, but it's a great picture of how we ought to celebrate together, because life is hard. Life beats us up. Rocky Balboa said, "Nobody's going to hit you hard as life." That's, that might be the single, no. That might be the single worst Rocky Balboa impression you've ever heard. I might be able to win a prize for that, but definitely not. Nobody's going to hit you hard as life. Yesterday, many of you were there to support the Russells as they were having a memorial for Dale's dad, Henry Russell. And he passed away, and we mourn with them, and I hope you're continuing to lift up the Russell family in prayer. Life hurts. That happened just this week. But we come together now, and there's still reason for celebration. During the week, we have financial troubles, we have relationship troubles, we get sick, we have loved ones pass away. But we always have reason to celebrate when we come together, because Jesus arose from the dead. Amen. There's always reason to celebrate. We know we'll see Hank again. We know it. We know because his trust was in Jesus, and because Jesus walked away from the grave, that we'll see Hank again, that we can trust what Jesus says about that. And so we always have reason to celebrate when we come together. I want you to prioritize. You're here at church on Sunday, so maybe this is a bit of a preaching to the choir situation, but let's prioritize every Sunday to come together, to be excited, and to worship together, to celebrate who God is and what he's done. If you're away on vacation, and that's okay, you should do that. I do that. Try to find a place to go there. You know, visit a different church. See how they're worshiping God. That's awesome. It's a great experience. Second-base Christians, they celebrate God. That's what they do at second base. They celebrate God. And so maybe you're here, you need to get baptized, get baptized. Maybe you're here, you need to be prioritizing the Sunday services, even Communion Sunday. Do it. That was kind of a Randy thing, wasn't it? The bouncing and this side to side. Oh, boy. He needs to get back here. He's in Florida right now. Okay. The second C, as we move along, the second C for Christian living, what does it look like at first base? Is communication. Or second base. Second basers are communicators, particularly with God, with each other too. I'll get to us later, our relationship with each other. But this one I'm talking about, our relationship with God, that there needs to be communication, regular. That's going to enable us to grow. No relationship in this world is more important to me, besides God, than Leah. I'm trying to make up for my last earlier comment. I'm making fun of you. Leah's the most important human being on this planet. I love my kids, but they're even second to my wife. All right, she's number one. And yet, there are times where we've put the kids to bed, and Leah's sitting on the couch, and she's got the iPad, and she's scrolling through, reading her blogs, and I'm on like the chair at the other side of the room, messing around on my laptop, and we just peek our heads up and realize we haven't communicated today. Maybe even in the last few days. Not really. I mean, it's not that we hate each other. We love each other. We haven't even been fighting. That'd be some kind of communication. We've been going through life, you know, getting the kids off to school and doing different things and going to work and coming back and even sharing a meal. But there hasn't been any real connection between us. We're still married. We still love each other. You know what I'm talking about. Even the best marriage in here knows what I'm talking about. We all go through those kinds of things. Yeah, I haven't connected with this person recently. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we're divorced now because we haven't talked in 3 days or something. But we do know if something doesn't change and we don't connect, things can go south fast. We've seen that happen. Now there is a problem here if we don't connect regularly. This might be the biggest struggle in people's spiritual walk, in their relationship with God. We know God loves us. We love God. All right? We know He's there. We're here. We might even be serving in ministry regularly, but we don't get that daily, that regular connection with Him. And so we start to feel distant. And it's not that, oh, now you're not a Christian. It's not that, oh, you don't love God anymore. No, it's just that connection, you're not getting that. And it's not feeding that relationship to grow. And after a while, things can go south fast. You think, oh, I feel depressed. I feel like God's not even with me anymore. Well, have you been talking to Him? Have you been connecting with Him? And if not, no wonder He feels far away. And so on your outline, there's two things to write down. I'll let you write them both down at the same time. You're thinking, oh, good, we need to pick up the pace, Chris. It's almost lunchtime. Two-way communication looks like this: the Bible with God, Bible and prayer. Bible and prayer. It says back in our passage, you can jump back, John, I know I skipped it. It says that this new community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. Now, the New Testament wasn't written yet, and so God was using, through the Holy Spirit, the apostles to teach Him, to communicate with His people. That teaching, which was accompanied by miracles and God's power, they knew this is from God, okay? The apostles were performing these miracles and things. Now, we are so lucky, we've got the teaching, the apostles' teaching, which is from God, contained in the pages of the New Testament. That means that whenever we open this book, it's God speaking to us. We don't even need to pray, God, speak to me today while I'm reading your Bible. You think that's weird. Why wouldn't you pray that? Because He's going to. It's a given. What we do need to pray is open up my ears so I hear what you're saying when I read your Bible. We do need to pray that way. But whenever we open it up, He's speaking to us. Whenever we pray, think about that we get to speak to the Creator of the universe. We get to have a relationship with the God who made everything, that He cares intimately about our lives. That's an awesome privilege. Let's not neglect it. There's a difference between the relationship with God and the relationship with me and Leah. See, sometimes, well, there's a lot of differences probably, since I'm not God and neither is she. But one of the big differences is this, is sometimes Leah will look up from the iPad, she'll realize we haven't connected in a while, so she starts telling me about her day or starts asking me questions about my day. But I'm clueless about the connection problem, right? So I'm just annoyed that she's talking to me. And I'm like, I'm trying to post something clever on Facebook and you're asking me about my day? See, sometimes we do that, or maybe it's the other way around. Sometimes I notice the connection is missing, rarely, but sometimes. And I'll walk over to the couch and I'll sit by her and I'm rubbing her back and she'll just, we're not having sex right now, Chris. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's not what I, well, maybe a little bit, but human beings, we're both at fault. Never getting you back. Okay. Human beings, we can both be at fault, so we kind of ebb and flow, and sometimes I notice the relationship needs connection, sometimes Leah notices it, but that's where it's different with God. God is always there. He's always speaking to us in his word. He's always 24/7. Middle of the night, you wake up and want to talk to God. He's not tired. He's there and he's listening. And it's different completely in that way. He's always there. So if you feel far from God, I always ask myself, who moved, Chris? If I'm feeling far from God, who moved? I did. And so I get back in his word. I get back in prayer. If you're having trouble starting up a regular Bible study plan, by the way, we've got these study plans at the back. They just break down the Old and New Testament into like a chapter or two a day. And over 2 years, you'll read the whole Bible. So if you just need like a plan to like check off to help you keep steady, they're back there. We ran out, I think, last week, but we've got new ones up there. And they just started in January. You can catch up or jump right in or do whatever. But those are a great resource to keep your relationship growing. Second-base Christians are connecting and communicating with God regularly. Now, maybe you need to start doing that in the first place, or maybe like Leah and I, you might just be going through one of those times where right now you're reminded that, yeah, I haven't connected in a while. You're at second base, but you haven't really connected. Maybe you've fallen out of praying regularly every morning, starting with God. Let this be a good encouragement to get back to that, I hope. And finally, the last thing we're gonna look at today before we close up, the third C for growing in Christian living is community. These are three things we need. We need to celebrate and engage God with his people. We need to communicate with God regularly, have that connection with him to be growing in our relationship. And we need each other. We need community. God designed us as relational beings, and we do life and we grow together. There are so many references to community in that passage. It's going to look like I'm reading it all over again. I am skipping things, I promise, to save time. But it says about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So there's a group. They're not off by themselves. There's a group. They devoted themselves to fellowship. That's doing life together. Help me out. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They're a community that loves each other. It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has a need. It goes on and says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We've got corporately there. We talked about that. And they broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of people. It's all about community. And what does God do with this loving community that's connected and growing? Help me out. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's the kind of community that God grows. The most attractive thing that we can do, all right, Jesus is more attractive than us, but the most attractive thing that we can do that will make people say, yeah, I want to be a part of that, what's going on in that church or in that group, is love each other. That's the most attractive thing that we can do. When we're doing life together, when we're seeing people's needs like they did back then, they're even selling things to help people that needed to eat or that were poor and needed a place to stay. They were helping each other out. We want to foster that kind of friendship, that kind of relationship here at Stony. I know the church has had a reputation of not being like that, being unloving and rejecting people and this kind of thing. That's not the case here at Stony, and I'm very thankful for that. There are many great churches where that's not the case, and I love that, and that should be the priority of every church, to be a loving group that cares about each other. Three ways, really quickly, that I want to touch on, that we try to prioritize this in ministry, all right? That I want to just touch on, and if you're not a part of one of these three things, I encourage you to do one of them. One, on Sunday is our 9:30 teaching. Our 9:30 teaching service is probably the best place on Sunday to connect with other Christians in a smaller setting. You see, you can't do life together as a church if you don't go to church. That's pretty obvious. But even if you just go here at this service and then for an hour and then you go out and you never connect with anybody, you still can't be doing life together. There needs to be something more than just sitting together in one service for an hour a week. That's not doing life together. That's important. It's vital. But there needs to be something more. We need to interact with each other. So that on Sunday, a great area is the 9:30 teaching. You come in, you grab a coffee, we sit on this side down here, and Randy or whoever's teaching, it was Rick this morning, we unpack the Bible and study it in more of a classroom-like setting down here. The teens go off and we do our own study, and of course there's the kids programs and things. That's a great way. It's a smaller grouping, and you get to interact and ask questions and share your thoughts and ideas, and so it's a little more interaction on Sunday. That's a great way for Sunday, but we've got other things. On Wednesday nights, that's another one to write down. You hear about it all the time in our announcements. Maybe not this week, actually. I'd cut it out. That's a weird week to cut it out since I'm talking about it. But Wednesday nights, we've got the women's Bible study. The youth group meets in here. There's the kids programs for the little kids. There's men's service projects. Basically, they wash the dishes for us because we all start with a meal together. And you can come out to that any Wednesday night. You can come out to that for the Stony Cafe and all these programs. And once again, it's smaller groupings where you get to know each other. Sharing a meal, sitting at a table with somebody and talking about your week, great way to grow together, to see what's going on in each other's life. But by far the best way to do this is small groups. At least here at this church, this is our strongest area. Small groups they're Bible studies that meet in different people's houses. They're all over Macomb, and we've even got a few in Oakland. They meet almost every night of the week. There's somebody is hosting a small group here at Stony. And right now is the perfect time to jump on board. If you're not plugged into a small group, This is in our passage. It mentioned that they were meeting together in each other's houses. There was big church when they all 3,000 got together, and then they met in each other's houses, and they were doing life together. This happens in small groups. Now's a great time to do it because we're actually starting up a new study. It's called Simplify. You heard about it during the announcements. It's all about prioritizing your life and making it, you know, count and making it organized according to God's priorities, simplifying things. And there's a ton of groups that are starting up with this. Back at the information booth, Andy and Neil, who are our small group director and co-director, they're going to be back there helping people plug into groups. So after the service here in just a few minutes, you can go and talk to them, get plugged into a group. We've got another group that I just heard about, and I'm excited about this, so it gets a last-minute entry into my message. It's the Art of Marriage group. And so if you're looking to strengthen your marriage, this is the group for you. We had an Art of Marriage retreat a few months ago, and now we've got the small group study coming out. And so you can get the information about that at the back table too. All the things that they were doing in that church, we can't do together. The fellowship, the meeting each other's needs, the praying for each other, the studying together, the celebrating what's going on in each other's lives. It can't happen unless we're building relationships with each other. And so we've prioritized that here at Stony by making these smaller grouping ministries. If you aren't plugged into one, I encourage you to do that because that's what second basers do. They do life together with other Christians at church and get the strength and encouragement to keep going. Well, maybe you're like me and you're pretty sure you've rounded second base. I'm not trying to be a brag or anything, but I think I've probably rounded second base. But maybe you're like me and you realize today there's things you can shore up. I need to get into the Word a little more steadily, or I need to prioritize Sunday a little better. I encourage you to do those things that you know, because second base is not just one time and done. It's ongoing, so you can keep growing. All right, maybe you're here and you're like, I know what I need to do to get to second base. I need to get baptized, or I need to join a small group, or I need to get into the Word in the first place and start reading it. Do that. Don't let anything stop you. Let's get you there. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't even know if I'm at first base, and that's all right. Let's start there. Come talk to me. We've got the pastoral prayer team down here after the service. Talk with them. They love to talk to you. But whoever you are, wherever you come from today, the main idea is the same for all of us. It's we need to connect with Christian living. That's how we're going to grow in our relationship with Christ. Let me pray for you guys. We already took the announcements, so we don't need to welcome the band up. I want to pray for you. Will you stand with me? And we'll close the service. Check out the information booth for small group stuff. Come talk to somebody if you need prayer or counseling down here with the pastoral prayer team. And I know there's coffee and donuts, so you can just connect with people after the service and go have goodies and some coffee back in that area out there in the hallway. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for bringing us together to celebrate who you are and what you've done in our lives and in history. We do that together every Sunday. I pray, God, that as we work through what was going on in that passage 2,000 years ago, that we would see what it is in our lives you're calling us to do next. May we not just be informed today, but transformed. May we know what's on our to-do list to do to grow in a relationship with you. And may each of us do that so we can round second base. Bring us back here safely next week as we look at third base together with Pastor Randy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.